What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to another episode here on Finding Direction. I am so excited for you to dive into this week's episode as I sit down with the one, the only Rob Dyrdek. And you may know Rob from the show Ridiculousness on MTV. You may know him from back in the day on Robin Big or The Fantasy Factory when that was around. But Rob is known for so many other things. You'll hear about it here. He is a former professional skateboarder. He has set over 20 Guinness World Records. He's launched the first ever professional skateboard league, Street League Skateboarding. He's the founder of Dyrdek Machine, a venture creation studio, and many, many, many more things. And on this episode, a few things that you can hear us dive into is being hypnotized for success and how it literally set the trajectory for Rob's life today. We talk about how Robin Big got started and has now led to a multi-decade run on television for Rob. We talk about getting clear on the end in your life, how to become more optimized for happiness. I mean, there is so much gold inside of this episode. I am so excited for you to dive into this one. If you have not already, make sure you hit the subscribe button so you can join us every single week on the show. And without further ado, here we go, my friend. Rob Dyrdek, the man, the myth, the legend, my man, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I figured where we could start is your life resume is insane. We'll just call it as it is, right? And I'm curious, like, let's say you are at Disneyland, because I know you and Brie are a big fan of Disney. And let's say you bump into some random stranger and they go, oh, hey, like, what's up, sir? And they start talking to you and they're like, what do you do? I'm curious, like, how do you answer that question with, like, the breadth, the depth? I mean, with the life that you've lived.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I almost answer it based off of who it is. You know what I mean? Like, but I think, you know, I always will lead with that I run a business that creates businesses. You know, yeah. I think that that's sort of at the core. And then it kind of leads into also one of the bigger businesses I created produces television. I also have a television show. I started and created a professional skateboarding league. I used to be a professional skateboarder, right? So I'll kind of like, if the center is the Dyrdek machine that kind of owns everything and is sort of the ecosystem of my existence, then I can trail out into the accoutrements that may include, I've been attacked by a shark and a tiger and broke the world record for jumping a car backwards. You know what I mean? If I'm going to let it drift out into no man's land to where it's just like, what? Who? What is this guy?
You know? Yeah, they just go, okay, I'll see you later. That's crazy. Cool. So if we dive into your life a little bit, you know, to kind of give the timeline and trajectory of your life, 11 years old, you become a pro skateboarder, right? Super, super young, around 17.
16. I didn't turn pro until I was 16. I started skating at 11, but I turned pro at 16. I quit high school to become a professional skateboarder in Dayton, Ohio, which was like, you know, you might as well have just signed your ticket to like being poor for the rest of your life to everybody in Ohio, you know what I mean?
Yeah, shout out to our Ohio listeners. A lot of my family's from Ohio, so I can relate. My mom went to Dayton, so she's from your hood.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's like, I would say even when I had my own signature shoe from D.C., and now, like, I'm making hundreds of thousands. Even my uncle at that time was like, and he's going to have to get a job like the rest of us. You know, even back then, even though it was beginning to build. And again, that's that fixed mindset mentality. Right. You know, like, I always like to think that, like, man, I grew up in a fixed mindset household with fixed mindset parents that were raised by fixed mindset parents. I went to a fixed mindset school. And so it's like breaking out of that just
interesting
way of thinking was the first step in my journey to finding my own path and creating all of these lanes. it's, you know.
Yeah. Epic. So then 16, you go pro. You drop out of high school at 16?
That's right.
Okay. Go to California. Eventually, you start your first company at 17. And the phase of your life that I kind of want to jump to is, I think you were 24, 25 years old, and you had this experience with, as you like to call it, the great Dr. George Pratt. And I was wondering if you could fill us in a little bit on this experience. It's something that, you know, as I've listened to your story and, you know, when we connected back in the day, it's something that's drawn to me. And actually, full circle, interestingly enough, at the end of this month, I'm actually meeting with someone that's in the same line of work as the Dr. George Pratt. And it's sort of an inspiration from your experience. So could you fill us in for those who maybe don't know who George is?
Well, George is a clinical psychologist that's also a hypnotist, right? Yeah. So I looked at him as like extra pro because he was at La Jolla Scripps and was a clinical psychologist, and he wrote this book called Hyper Success, and it was about like reprogramming your subconscious through hypnosis to so that your subconscious believes you were meant for success, you know? And you got to think about, even in the time that I found him, it was at a time where, you know, I had a pretty decent amount of success. I was now 24, 25, and I began to lose belief in myself for the first time. Because you got to think, everything I tried as a kid, I was good at. Then I really got into skateboarding. Then I became pro. Then I became successful, had a signature shoe, had gotten to this much higher level. But I was losing the passion for the actual sport and really wanted to focus on business. And so it ended up stretching me into this place to where I didn't understand business well enough and wasn't sure if I could find success in that, and then was not focusing on skateboarding and losing sort of the credibility of my skills. Yeah. And all of a sudden I'm in this place of like, what do you even want to do? And what are you even capable of doing what you want to do? I think that was the first time for me personally that I ever faced the idea of losing belief in myself, because I had been anchored in it for so long in my life, you know. And I don't know what led me to thinking that, like, you need to get hypnotized, right? And it's again, it's how the universe works, for right? Sure. Where you just know you need a big change. So I'm like, I need something to like light a fire under me and change me. And I think I read something about you know, George Pratt working with pro athletes or pro golfers. And so I really then had to look him up in the yellow pages. You know what I mean? This is before there wasn't even the internet back then. Yeah. You know, there was no Google. And it was really expensive. You know what I mean? Like for the amount of like how expensive it was at the time. But, you know, I went in there like wanting to get refocused on like my skate career. And he said, I want to test your subconscious just to believe if you believe you are meant to be successful. Yeah. And did all these tests and was like, you don't believe in your subconscious that you're meant to have great success. And so then we went through these, you know, series of, you know, kind of, you know, not hypnosis and the idea that you're on stage and you're quacking like a duck as much as it's almost like affirmations and more organized sort of affirmations and tapping on your forehead and cheeks and like just trying to like program you and get you to tell yourself and essentially reprogram yourself. And you know, I speak about it all the time to this day. Yeah, you know, it was, you know, many, many years ago, coming on, you know, 25 years ago. And, you know, I had him even preside over our vow renewal when we did our 5-year wedding for our 5-year anniversary. He was the guy who presided over it. Like, I still share so text cool. with him and talk to him to this day because whether or not you fully believe that, you know, hypnosis works, there's no denying that I just went on this trajectory and never, ever looked back from those early on sessions. You know what I mean? So, you know, I say to you, it's really, you know, it's really that core belief that did the most for me, right? This idea that do you believe you're meant to have great success is almost so much more fundamental subconsciously than trying to get too specific, you know, of like, oh, I want to be able to do this or forget this, you know, type of thing. So my advice to you as someone who's made a hard run after a great hypnotist session, that you really, really lock in on those core things that then you can work on to embed in yourself long-term, which I know you have a lot of. And a lot of things that you already connect on that front, but that's really from a subconscious level of what I think it did for me, you know?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is you left and all of a sudden, like one thing I've heard you say multiple times is you're like, it was my destiny to do this. And it's like, that's a pretty big declaration to be like, my destiny is this. And it sounds like maybe before that you were like, I don't know, subconsciously if I should be successful, and you left and it's like, it's my freaking birthright to be successful.
Yeah, look, I'm, you know, I wouldn't call it that direct, right? I would say I was born with that feeling, but you can lose that feeling if you keep trying things and they don't work.
Yeah.
Right? I think where people go wrong is anybody can build confidence, but you have to build confidence over time through achievement. And in order to achieve something, most people just wish or want an idea. And then some really driven people just go for it blind, hoping that the universe will prevail and give it to you, rather than it's a combination of getting clear on where you want to go and then getting clear on the strategy that you need to actually do to get there. Then as you're moving towards it, you're learning more, you're seeing everything that you actually need to learn to achieve it, which either really motivates you and drives you further, or scares you and gets you to quit, right? That valley of death and trying to attempt anything. But if you get through that and you achieve the first thing, now you understand the process and you built the foundation of confidence. So it's like, not only did I, like, I was given the hypnosis of you now subconsciously believe it through his testing, but I didn't leave there thinking like, oh, I got it. That was like the first tool of like, hey, let's start figuring out what you want to do. And I think for me at that time, it was, hey, focus. You're doing too many things. You're trying to be the business guy and starting all these companies, and you're trying to design shoes. You're trying to skate. Like, you've got to focus. And at that point, I'd like rededicated myself to skateboarding, because I was like, man, if you can be great at skateboarding, that opens up all the opportunities. And that allowed me to really get focused. And then I went from being irrelevant to like top 10 in the world. Yeah. And so that march to getting fully dedicated to my body and practicing and recommitted to the sport and slowly building, that's where the belief of began to build inside me, and the confidence of like, look what you can do. And then you got to think, even from that point, then I'm like, okay, I'm going to focus on designing footwear at DC because that's my biggest opportunity. And I already love doing that with my own signature shoes. So not only was I then focusing on building my career, then the first like opportunity I attempted was designing shoes for them on the side. And I made a deal to get a royalty off of every shoe that I would create. But then I learned the entire process and then began to get really good at designing shoes. And then I had this entire line of shoes now that I was getting paid off of while being in the best like skate level that I've ever been at, that created this combination of value, but also confidence, you know, and I just kept building on like things like that. New avenues would open up. I'd learn something new, wrote an idea for the DC video that was a skit that would become the Robin Big Show, right? So it's like, it's that refocus on what you need to do to live the best version of you and your best life based off of your current situation is what I really learned from that era, you know?
Yeah. Wild. So if we jump into Robin Big, and I was just through on an episode yesterday for nostalgia and because I used to watch it growing up as well. And I'm curious, you know, for you, and you said it came from a skit, but like, what ultimately decided to pull you towards TV and Robin Big? I mean, obviously today you look at Ridiculousness. You correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I've heard you say it's 60% of MTV's network, what they air, insane. It's literally all of MTV. And that all started from Robin Big, right? Really. And so, like, what pulled you to TV? What kind of made you step into that section of your life?
Yeah, and look, and again, back to this idea of like destiny,
right? Yeah.
Like you have to be open to destiny, and you've got to be focused on what you control, and always keeping one eye on opportunity that may shift or give you a quantum leap in your existence, you know. And I think for me, television was that in like the most major way, right? But it wasn't so clear to me. I didn't say, hey, if I could get to TV, then I'm going to take this whole thing to another level. I actually had so much pressure on me as it related to filming the DC video. Because now, despite the how good I had gotten and how serious I had taken my skate career, I was still, the DC team was the best in the world. And now a skateboard video is where you have to showcase your very best tricks that you had filmed over a few years. And I knew that I just didn't have the same level as everybody else in the video. But and so rather than like worry about like trying to not be better than who I was, I'm like, I have to come up with some way to make my part stick out beyond my skateboarding. And that's what led me to even writing the skit of like this. I'm going to write this skit where when I go to skate in the streets, instead of a security guard kicking me out of a business park, they're going to have to talk to my security guard. And we, as soon as we said it, we just laughed out loud at the concept. And so then it was like, okay, we got to shoot this because the video is almost done. It wasn't like we you know, had some 100-person cast and me and him were talking and like, oh, look at us. This is like Greg Hunt, the producer of the film, literally called a San Diego, you know, security service and said, I'm looking for like a big guy that's kind of funny, but like intimidating. And they're like, oh, we got the perfect guy for you. And it, like, that's it. He showed up and we shot the skit. Nothing more, nothing less. And then the instant like chemistry and just like vibe of like, this is really fun. And then the DC video came out and it became this massive thing, right? Like we could have never even thought. No part of me ever thought like it would even, you know, who knows how well it was going to turn out. It became this thing that led to me and him racing in the Gumball 3000, a car race together. A car race across Europe together where the director of the documentary was like, can I film you guys? And the director of the documentary, after the film was done, showed it to Jeff Tremaine, and who I knew from Big Brother because he was in the skate culture for so many years. Like he was like, these guys should have a show. So it was never even like on my radar. And then even when Ruben Fleischer, who went on to, you know, direct massive films, was the director of the original director. Even when he was like, you should do a show, I'm like, oh, I don't have time. Like, I'm focused on, on skate stuff. Like, I'm designing all these shoes. I'm working on skate plazas. Like, I got this vision for a league. I wrote this movie. I'm doing, like, the first skate movie, right? I'm already overlapping all of these things by the time it presented itself. And I said I didn't have time. But then, you know, the more I looked at it, it was like, well, let's take a shot, especially if Jeff Tremaine says, let's go for it.
Right.
And next thing you know, we're shooting a pilot. And, you know, and make no mistake, at some point, even when you are allowing, like, the winds of destiny to be sort of blowing you in different directions and looking at opportunities of like, should you dedicate time to these? Like, is this a real opportunity? You know, I always have had things overlapping and going on in the background. You know, I always try to keep two or three things like happening at all times and just to take the stakes out of these single big shots, right? So that you can still like dabble in something and get to know it without, you know, needing to risk it all in one moment is sort of what I think people just don't understand. And I've done it like for years and I still do it. You know what I mean? The stuff that I'm working on now, the world won't see for years. And, and the same way that everything that you see about like the content that I create now and all the success I had in business, like I was working on that for years before I ever started speaking about it publicly, but continually overlapping while you dabble, you know, because I didn't know what was possible with TV. But even when we shot that pilot, I was beginning to learn how TV worked. And I just knew we were in trouble after seeing the pilot, like it just wasn't working. And luckily MTV brought in like a story editor who had worked on the Newlywed show, who was went back to the network and said, hey, this show should just be about like a buddy comedy. And they trusted him because we pitched that to them initially and they said, nah, that's not a show. The initial name of the show was Best Friends. And they wouldn't pick that up. They ended up picking up the show Rob Dyrdek's Rules to Success. And Rob Dyrdek's first rule of success is always surround yourself with good people. And that was him, along with my cousin and his friends, like all these different people. And so that sort of shaped it into what it became. And then what did I do? I learned to write episodes of television. I didn't just let it like, you know, be what would be and they tell me what to do. I began to control the narrative so that I could use it to my advantage, but ultimately control the way that I looked on the platform and then ultimately use the platform to do bigger deals with DC and Monster and all this different, these different companies when it finally found became successful. But it was an interesting journey of shaping it and creating it that took multiple years to come out. You know, it's like, I want to say we pitched it to them in like November of 2004 and it aired in November of like 2006. You know, it was like 2 years before it ever made it to the airwaves, you know.
Interesting. And it's interesting to hear about that too. Just your, I mean, one of the things you, I mean, it's not even a joke, but you're like, you are a human optimization machine, right? It's like, that's part of who you are. And even as you look back then, it's like seeing you on Robin Big, you've always had this mind that's allowed you to sort of look two steps forward while you're sitting in your present moment. It's like, it's a superpower, which is yielded very
and
well.
I think you anybody can learn to do it, but we don't, we tend to get lost. We tend to get overwhelmed and like hyper-focused on what we think needs to happen and then spend the rest of our time either worrying about the future or dwelling about the mistakes we've made that's not getting us there fast enough or beginning to doubt the overall process rather than constantly looking in the micro and looking out to the macro. Yeah. Because that's also how you have to look at anything big that you want to do. Because you're going to have to look at small changes and be able to look out further of how those are going to affect the future.
Yeah.
You've got to teach yourself to be able to look into the future and with higher and higher probability predict what's going to happen in the future. And, you know, back then I was way more like I had it naturally, but I was just running and gunning. Like I would just go for everything. I would go in a million different directions versus as I, you know, got older, I got more and more focused on how to create the whole where I used to just look at like, what can I create next? And I transitioned into like, how do I just create an amazing life and live in an amazing energy of life on an ongoing basis, which took me many, many years after that to even, you know, discover and then implement to live the way that I live today, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I know
no optimization things- back then. No optimization. It was like, go for it, party for like 2 weeks and then get back to work for like a month. Like it was just utter highs and lows and chaos and just like literally like the most, when I look back, what an adventure. And I probably wouldn't have been able to create a lot of the stuff I created if I wasn't in that sort of hyper chaotic mindset, because, you know, of all the dangerous things that I did and all the crazy stunts and the different sort of thing. There's no way the person I am today would do that. And it allowed me to create this amazing highlight reel and an amazing adventure, but it is not a peaceful or enjoyable way to live versus the way that I live now and that I'll live for the rest of my life is essentially joyful and happy every single day with almost no variation in that level of happiness by design.
Do you have a favorite stunt or moment from that like phase of your life, whether it was robbing big, the early years skateboarding, Fantasy Factory? Like, is there a moment you look back and you go, man, that's one that I've just put in my memories that was just one of my favorite parts of that time of your life?
I mean, look, they're early on, the first time when I rode a bull was the first like major stunt that I did during Robin Big. When I rode a bull, it was like, man, like that's the first time that I stepped into like doing like a real dangerous way outside of skateboarding sort of stunt. And then that just became the like, set the new bar of like, man, I for television, I'll do crazier stunts because it's like, I'm basically building a highlight reel. Yeah. And so imagine that it went from that to being attacked by a shark, right? Yeah. And then, you know, flipping a car, breaking a car, jumping the world record 100 feet back to back, backwards over a ramp, like getting towed into a giant wave, jockeying a racehorse for a race, like these sort of big, crazy stunts that were integrated into content creation are like this highlight reel that no human being alive has, you know, that I wouldn't have done unless I was like, knew that I was creating a highlight reel and that it was going to be immortalized in television and live forever. Yeah. And then the more I did, the more confident I got. Now I'm, you know, jumping a monster truck in front of 40,000 people through an exploding RV. You know, it's like I'm getting attacked by a tiger. I'm now like, what else can I do to add to this highlight reel? Is essentially what that whole journey became. I never get tired of listing out the things that I did. You know what I mean? Because it's like as I was creating it, I knew that, man, I'm going to love talking about these forever. And it never gets so old. Cool. You know what I mean? Because they're amazing experiences.
Yeah.
And the fact that you have so many, like, really even puts you that much further and so much different than everybody is in the first place.
So cool. Yeah. It's, you know, it's going to an interesting place when you say the first time I rode a bull. Right. And so, crazy life. And so, you know, if we kind of jump more forward in your story, you know, I know the last decade or so of your life has shifted towards this optimization sort of, phase of your life. And one of the things, you talk about a lot, and when we first connected, you mentioned this book, Start With The End, which kind of like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, like revolutionize the way that you think, right? It's like figure out what you want in the end, reverse engineer, build it backwards, go through the mud as you like twist and change and pivot, but you know the end destination and that's where we're going. And it seems like, and even as you're talking earlier, you're like, you can tell that's the model in which you live your life through, which is amazing. But one thing I'm curious in that sort of aspect is, a major piece of the start with the end is what the hell is the end? Like, what's that flag that I'm going to plant on Jupiter and say, that's where I'm going, right? Or wherever the end is. And so you're a huge system person, right? How do you systematize or automate parts of your life so you can maximize living in happiness, right? And optimize a happy life. So my question to you would be, like, do you have a system for getting clarity on what you want? And then the second aspect of it is building certainty around that is indeed what you want. Because I think it's a huge piece of this start with the end is what's the end? And once I know what the end is, I'm sticking to it. I'm not budging. Like, I know that's what I want. So if you could expand upon that a little bit.
Yeah, look, I think what happens a lot of times, and even the way you're framing it, right? Hmm. Is just a is one direction off, right? Because you have struggled with this, I'm sure, right? And so the problem is we tend to think that, oh, like, it's the job, the career, what's my purpose? It's this one thing that we think we need to get clarity on that's going to open up the rest of our lives. When I'm saying what I did in that era of when I discovered that, I began to look at my whole life, not just like career or what do I want out of that? What type of person do I want to be? What is healthy to me? Where do I want to spend my time? Like, how much money do I want to spend? What do I want money for? Like, how much money do I want to have saved to feel secure? Okay, then what do I like to do the most? Okay, I do all these different things. What do I like to do the most? What would be the most satisfying? Okay, what do I need to learn? Like, you slowly piece it all together, but you do it by asking all of the questions of your whole life. Right? Because you don't want to design one part of your life. You want to design all of it because it all integrates together to make the whole. And so often people think, and I was the same way when I was younger, I kept doing the next thing, thinking that if I put all my energy into this and this works, that's going to give me the life that I really want. Rather than designing the life, taking time to decide what it is, what type of life, how would you spend your time, who would you be with, what things give you energy, what things do you not want to do, like talking through all of that and just having a base structure of what like a holistic life design would look like. And then my career was one piece of that. You know what I mean? And and for me, even in that era, you know, I did so many different things from a self-discovery standpoint. I took all these personality tests, a bunch of different ones, you know, and I would recommend to anybody who just doesn't like fully know that the more that you can do from a self-discovery standpoint of like, these great personality tests like Insights or Principles U, where like you're now looking, you're reading about you and you say, oh, that is the way I am. Oh, I do that all the time. Like, oh, that is actually me, right? Like that was incredibly helpful for me to then now have the insight to how I would design the Dyrdek machine in the first place, right? Because I needed like the clarity on sort of, oh, I do start things and then get excited about them, then lose interest in them, and then start another thing and then end up doing too many. Like, it was this really interesting sort of aspect. Another piece of the personality test was like, I work so much better when things are clear, beginning and ends are clear, right? And it's like, that's so true, you know? And for me, that laid the groundwork of like, okay, I love creating companies and I love like supporting companies, but I don't like operating companies. So I've got to create a system where I can create companies, be in that ideation and excitement of creating it, but build it in a way and partner with people that it can operate with me only advising rather than me needing to do everything and run the company, which I was doing at that time, you know? And that was a huge breakthrough for me. Because then it's like, it made me realize like, you know, this is why I love shoe design so much is like, all I had to do was like, come up with the idea, the shoe would go through the process, it would be done, and now it was in market, I'm making royalties. Oh, a television show, all I gotta do is like, lay out how I wanna do it, I go and shoot it, it's done, it's in the ethos forever. I began to see sort of these patterns of the way that I, like of the things I really enjoyed. And then I began to build strategies and plans into that, right? Yeah. Because I was at a crossroad of like, man, you put so much time and energy into building Street League. It's your baby. Like, but every time I would be like, you should focus on just running Street League, it would make me miserable.
Yeah.
Because when I thought about just running Street League, and that was in that same sort of era of discovery where it was like, wow, look at that. Look at how much it makes you feel like you just couldn't just do this one thing. Yeah. And then for me, it like I'm through the journey, like even as I got that clarity and began to do it, all that clarity did was give me energy to start and learn and evolve along the way. And along the way, I wasn't sure if it was the right approach. You know what I mean? And it's even in that zone, I didn't even want to shoot TV anymore. And then when TV, once I got so much clarity and it was like, well, look at TV as like, this is actually your resource that not only can fund your vision, but then the first company that you could build and sell is a production company with your new system, right? So TV then changed for me as what it meant to me. And I would equate TV to like somebody's normal job, you know, or something that they know really well that they don't like, you know. I looked at it as like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be on MTV at 40, right? Like that's how I was back then. You know what I mean? Now I'm going to be deep into my 50s on MTV. But it's that sort of reframing and its purpose for the whole changed. Then I'm like, well, okay, then just make TV easier. Then I began to implement the systems and the automation and figure out how to shoot like more efficiently and faster and play with the schedule so it wasn't as grueling on me, and began to make TV easier and easier. Then it served a purpose in my vision that meant more to me, that was connected to how I wanted to live my life as a whole. Yeah. So I never lost sight on like designing my business vision and life vision simultaneously. Yeah. And so the better I got at, and the closer I got at realizing the business vision, I was also realizing my life vision, so that I was getting better and better at everything in life rather than just getting better at one thing, right? That's where the optimization comes in, because at some point you have so much intention and clarity in the whole that you're in sort of this perpetual state of optimization, where you're making everything in your life better and better over time, getting better at understanding yourself, getting better at using your time, getting better at understanding your energy, getting healthier and healthier, getting automation and more systems to make things less effort and more neutral, like hiring more bodies to get back more time. Yeah. You just look at your whole world through the lens of how much time am I spending? What type of energy does it feel? And then where is my mind as it relates to balanced or being pulled too far into the future or being pulled too far in the past? Are you able to be present with intention? And how do you just keep optimizing that sort of mastery of time, energy, and mind as you're changing and the world's changing around you? Yeah. That's sort of like the thing that I try to preach the fullest, is the idea that it's like design the whole and harmonize the whole, and then began to get better in all aspects of life and make goals for all aspects of life. Yeah. So you get better and better at being you for the rest of your life. And that's healthier, that's happier, that's wealthier, that's all aspects, because you don't want to focus on one area, health, or relationship, or you know, just business or work, and then everything else suffers, and then you're trying to like overcorrect now, which is almost impossible depending on how deep the programming is in the way that you live your life.
Yeah. How much do you feel like measuring, because every day you measure a lot of things about your life, how much do you feel like that helps you in your life kind of have this continued harmony?
I mean, I think you have to measure as much as you can.
Yeah.
And pick your way of measuring it. Because you got to think, like, it's hard to measure how happy you are. Right? So by me like starting to measure like every day, how do I feel 0 to 10 about my life, work, and health? And then just basically saying, hey, 5, I'm neutral. 6 and above, I'm hopeful. 4 and below, I'm hopeless, right? Like if it's super binary, right? Like where outside of the either feeling great or feeling bad, and then you add that number up, that ends up giving you a gauge of how happy you are.
Yeah.
And so when you're just building awareness. you're taking the time to reflect on what's actually making me happy on a daily basis. Then now you're seeing little things you can change. Then right. you see little things that make you feel better. And then you can begin to track those. That's why I then began to track, like, man, if I get up early and eat clean and don't drink and get in the gym, man, that always makes me like feel the best. So I begin to track that. Yeah. Then I'm like, oh man, if I take supplements and I meditate and I brain train, that makes me feel even better. Then, like, you know, I began to have this list of things that I tracked. And yeah. then, you know, then when you began to see the numbers of, man, if you do that like 80% of the time, look how dramatically it affects the yeah. quality of your life. And then what did I do? I just got more and more disciplined, right? Yeah. And kept adding more and more numbers, full body composition, sleep scores, you know, even how I built my financial system is a money invested in cash flowing assets and how much of that cash flow is covering my lifestyle expenses. That was my first goal. It was like, man, for me, let me get enough money in cash flowing assets to where I can live my lifestyle for the rest of my life. Let me that be that first yeah. goal. So now I'm measuring that, right? You're beginning to see all these different things that you measure that together make up the quality of your life. And that, like, just keeps motivating me. And then what yeah, happens yeah. like this year, like, it's the first year that I'm, you know, have been at 100% on it all, right? Like yeah. I have not missed one day in 2023 of getting up at 5, brain training, meditating, getting in the gym, eating clean, not drinking, and taking supplements. Not one day. And that's yeah. through traveling and vacations. And I've just built my whole life yeah. and like, am like deeply committed to like the way the weekends? This makes me feel. What's that?
That includes the weekends too?
7 days a week.
Let's go.
Like never missed like one. And for me, that's an extraordinary yeah. level of discipline, right?
For sure.
But it's effortless
yeah.
and intuitive. Because I got more and more disciplined over time. And then it was just like, man, why do you even drink? Why yeah. why would you even have like a snack? Why would you even have sugar? And then it's like, man, like let's look further. Let's pick a time. How long do you want to live? I want to be a super centurion. Yeah. Okay, what's a million hours? I want to live a million hours of life. Okay, that's 114 years and 54 days. And so now it's like, you know, you've evolved to such a place. You've achieved success beyond your wildest dreams, and you're in this perpetual state of achieving and yeah. seeing further every day. So like you get the dopamine and excitement of yeah. creating a more exciting future. Then you get the dopamine and excitement of realizing like vision after vision, idea after idea, and then seeing further. And it just, the more knowledge you get, the more you expand, the further you see, yeah. the more exciting life gets. And I'm doing all of this fully balanced, working 25% of my time, spending 8% of my yeah. time on my health, getting 7 to 8 hours sleep and having a high sleep score every night, and spending the majority of time with my wife and kids. Yeah. Living this beautiful, balanced, harmonious, peaceful, happy existence with a balanced mind where I get to use my present moment with intent. And yeah. sometimes that's to be super present and watch my kids doing karate and yeah. and look at the room and smell the room and live the experience. Other times it's to be focused on creating another exciting, better future, right? Yeah. Like I choose how to use the present moment. And to me, that's because I've designed my life in a way where I've optimized and reduced all friction and use every hour with such intent that very rarely do I do anything that's draining or pulls yeah. from me. Then you tie the discipline, the health, and the happiness and the wealth yeah. on top of all of that. It is like a form of like high performer enlightenment. right? That I think most people, especially driven people, don't think is possible because, hey, man, I'm just trying to find work-life balance when you have to, you know, really design a harmonious existence and get better and better at living it, you know?
So you're, we'll just call it level 170, right? An optimization scale out of 1 to 100, right? You're optimized, right? This beautiful harmonic life. I'm curious, if we go back and let's say we talk to someone who feels like they're a level 1, right? As far as optimizing their life, what would be, like, if you could only give, you could tell them 3 things and say, these are the 3 things you need to do to start optimizing your life and get from a level 1 to level 2 to level 10, eventually maybe higher than that. But like, what are the 3 things you would give someone to start optimizing their life with?
Yeah. And look, you got to think about what optimizing ultimately is, right? Like, optimizing is this subtle evolution and incrementally making something better after it has order, you know? And I think you just have to look at your existence and break it up into health. What's one thing that you can do to increase your health? You know, sleep 8 hours, go to the gym 3 times a week, start, what's one thing you can measure? Hey, like get a Whoop, get an Oura Ring, get a scale, right? Like, you know, like figure out like one thing you can measure and one thing you could do that you know would make you healthier, right? Look at your work. Okay, what could I do to make work easier? Is it someone that you work with all the time that annoys you? Is it like you're always playing catch up? Is it someone that you work? Do you need to focus on getting another job? What is something that would make your work easier for you? And look at your work as your income, your stability, your security. How what can you do to create a savings? You know, even if it's incremental and small, and learn one place, an index fund where you want to invest money. Yeah. So how do you make your work a little bit easier for you? How do you spend a little bit less and start saving so you can feel like you're making it somewhere? And just say in your head, oh, man, if I could have 500,000 saved, that would be incredible. Yeah. Like, and even if it seems impossible right now, and you got to start with putting, you know, $200 a month away, right? That's even going to put pressure on you because you got this, then this, and this. If you just build 1 or 2 measurable things and look at what can you do to systematize or make that section of your life a little bit easier, like that is, you're going to get immediate energy. Yeah. Immediate energy. And then you look to your life, right? So now you got your health, your wealth, and your work. Then you look at your life, the people, your passions, the things that you love to do, your growth, you want to reach. Just put a line in the sand that I'm going to, you know, spend 1 hour a day walking with my girlfriend. I'm going to spend 1 hour a day reading. I'm going to play tennis twice a week, whatever it is. Like decide on a handful of things that, you know, if you did, if you just committed the time to it and began to do it, that would be, give you energy and make you happier. If you just look at those few things between health, life, and work, like you now have your very first baby life design. And it's extraordinary. You'll be like, what? Like, and you're now designed the whole. And now just put some incremental milestones of where you'd like to go in each of those. And now you have a place that you're going. And as you're going, you're just learning more, and you have to constantly be thinking of things to measure. And it's difficult to do, but I'm, you know, whether you journal, you have to do some sort of like bit of reflection on what you need to change in your life on an ongoing basis until you don't need to change anything. Yeah. Right. And that's really what I did. Like I, from that qualitative data, by just asking myself, how do I feel 0 to 10 about my work, my health, and my life? I began to see the things that pull me down. And there's not that many things that actually bring you down. It ends up being the same sort of things keep showing up. And right. now you know, like, I need to, here's the thing I need to change, or this is what I yeah. need to do. This is the person I can't be around. Like, that was a big thing for me early on, was like, wow, like, every time work is driving me down, it's by the same person.
Yeah.
And it's and it wasn't like the person was like overly like a bad person. It wasn't even like overly toxic. Yeah. It was just the way that our relationship was in business was what was just ruining my energy and bumming yeah. me out all the time. And that releasing from that was a major, major thing. Other friends in my life that it'd be like, I'm drained because I spent all day with my one friend that just, you know, has to just like talk about everybody and super negative. And now yeah. I'm debating negative things. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like, yeah. it becomes so clear, but it's not, it's just picking a handful of things in your whole life. Because yeah. the problem is like, everybody thinks like, if I could just get the job, if I could just do this, and then they get it, and it's not it.
Yeah.
Because it's way harder than they thought. It's different than they thought. It's not as like fun as they thought. It's all their expectations that were tied into this was supposed to be the anchor. All the other aspects of their life and health, they're still the same.
Yeah.
And like all this new direction did was create more uncertainty and more stress as opposed to the fulfillment that that new direction was going to cause. And again, putting as much anchor and numbers to things that you know, man, if I can stay at this number or get to these numbers, yeah. that's going to make my whole being feel good. And yeah. then that's it. It's like, again, take stock, look at everything. Don't try to change one thing about your life. Try to change everything.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, more daunting, but it's so much more sustainable. And the truth is right. they all integrate to make the whole. And we just get lost in this idea that if we could get this one thing, right. then our lives would be better. Rather than focusing on everything that we can control and creating different aspects of parts of our lives that if we made better, we'd be happier. And then having them not be the only focus, but the whole being the focus and the intent of getting better and better at being you and getting better and better at living yeah. life.
Yeah. And this for you, when you started tracking all this, was roughly 7-8 years ago?
Yeah, like 2015 is when I, okay. when I
so
started
eight,
tracking.
So 8 years ago, and this is the first year that you're perfect on it this year. But it's like, I think that's just...
Look, 2020 was the first year that I did the data for the whole year.
Yeah.
Right? So like I kept
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like, so it was, yeah, because it's a discipline unto itself.
For sure.
And it was the first time that I had even tried, you know, because I'd go through spurts of tracking it and.
Yeah, it's like if you're not motivated, you probably don't want to put your numbers down. You're like, I don't feel like doing it.
Or if you're like, yeah. you're a pile and you've been eating bad, you know, you yeah. don't want to weigh yourself, you don't want to look at anything. Like, yeah. In 2020, when I look at those that was the best year of my life. And I, because I finally did the whole thing, I was yeah. getting so much clearer on like, and I found somebody that wrote a script to pull all the data and put it in dashboards.
Yeah.
And when I saw the dashboards of all the numbers and the averages and all that, God, it motivated me so much.
Yeah.
And so like cool. This year, my qualitative like collective of the three scores is averaging probably 22. And I've probably only when I got sick, like, have I even been in like a 19. Yeah. And in 2020, which was one of the best years of my life, I was averaging months in the 16s. Like I had these super low scores, but I was averaging 12s and 13s right. in the years before. It's just so remarkable to have to see how much you've grown in happiness and overall healthiness and wealthiness by looking at all the numbers and seeing them in dashboards and averages, which was super motivating just through 21, 22. And then like after 3 years, it was like, man, look at these months. Yeah. Where you're at like nearly 100% how happy you are. Like, why do you even drink? Like, you don't, like, it's not part of like your overall experience. Like, all it does is hamper the energy and the momentum that you create. Like, why even like give yourself like days off to like eat pizza and spiral into like cake and ice cream with the kids? Like, why? And it was more out of this idea of like, man, think how crazy it would be to just feel absolutely amazing every single day. Because you've worked on so many other aspects of your life that you've optimized your time and energy to such a level that now the only thing that's actually disrupting your quality of life is what you put in your body. And then that affects your decisions, that ripple itself into different things going on in your life, different interactions with different people. Like, it just got to the point where it's like, man, you've done so much to get here. It's time to take the next step to get to this 100% level. It was a natural progression that happened, you know, over 8 years. It wasn't like, you know, that really kicked up when I could see it. It's why it's really important for me to build the software that I'm creating for people to do their version of being able to track their time and rate their time and rate their days so they can see the feedback and see like where they're spending time and begin to understand the value of time and how it makes them feel. Because when you can visualize it and see it, it's so much easier to make these decisions when you can actually look at the quality of your life changing or being better based off of your behaviors or where you're actually spending your time, which in turn gives you a better understanding of your own reality and gives you higher probability of planning and predicting the future to be better tomorrow than it was today. And that's really where you want to get into, is this perpetual state of optimization where you're just continually getting better in all aspects of life till the day you die. And even at this level, I still see I have so far to go. I have so much clarity on all the things that I still need to do that could get me to a sharper and sharper level. Right. And that's almost like the beauty of it is when you start from a place of clarity and you grow into it, you're learning all of these different aspects of your health and money and relationships and your visions. Yeah. You're getting so much depth of knowledge that you're slightly changing the future and getting more excited about where you're going to go on an ongoing basis, but you never lose sight of how much better you can make the future. And that keeps it in this continually exciting phase. And you just feel like you have purpose to continually getting better because it's so clear on what you need to do, but you now, and you understand time so well that you know that, hey, that's going to take me 4, 5, 6 years, you know, and that's, you know, from launching the philosophy to the software, to building my house for 10 years, to, you know, taking, you know, 3, 4 years to launch the machine, to everything that I'm doing is just these overlapping short-term, long-term plans that I continue to realize because I'm able to see like that's going to take me 3 or 4 years before I can actually do that. But I know that's where I'm going to go in 3 or 4 years. It's that continual way of seeing the world that allows you to guide your reality with a higher probability, then the universe conspires to bring in opportunities and things you never even thought of that shape that further. And you see more opportunity inside what you've already created that then the magic side of life where you're like, I can't even believe this is life. Then you run that all the way back to the core where you're just living this super intentional, highly present existence. you're just overwhelmed with gratitude. I walk around this office like, you are so lucky. Like, I constantly am like, this, you are so lucky that this is your life. Like, that is how you feel in this state on an ongoing basis, where even in at this zone, you still can't even believe it's real, even though you saw it, realized it again and again and again and again. It's still like, man, this is just crazy. And that, to me, is sort of the purity of this, like what it feels like to have the whole in a continuous state of optimization, right? When you're just incrementally seeing further and making it all better, is what I know every person can actually get to, because you can't get there from working hard. You have to get there from working harmoniously and living harmoniously. You already have to be in a state of happiness and balance and healthiness, and in order to ever even get there, that's the beauty of it. And then I digress all the way back to, it starts with a couple things on the health side that you can do and you can measure, a couple things on the work and wealth side, a couple things on the life that you know would build harmony in your time and your energy. That's where it starts. And then as you begin to do it, you learn more and more about you. You like more and more about what it means to be, to live in this harmonious state. And you just get better and better at being you over time, you know?
So cool. And any rough idea when this software will come out? Just curious.
I'm doing this whole integrated platform that is the book, that is all this content, that is the software, that will probably be like summer of 25.
Cool.
You know, perhaps even 26, you know, because, you know, I'm the beauty of being in this position too is it's a legacy piece, and I'm, you know, I can invest into hiring all the teams, and then I still work at it, you know, in between everything else that I'm doing. So I'm, and I want it to sort of reveal itself to me. And I really wanted to like, to be able to test it and use it the same way that, you know, I've been working on the book for 3 years nonstop, just until it can reveal itself in detail and then be codified into, this is a timeless work that's going to sit next to Think and Grow Rich and the 7 Habits of Highly Successful People and The Richest Man in Babylon and Atomic Habits. Like, I want it to sit with the great works that lives perpetual. And so there's a process in creating something that's simplicity on the far side of complexity, because this is a complex concept and you can tend to go too deep. And I want that to be the entry point to basically see the whole, how the whole integrates to make all of you design it in a harmonious way and just make it better forever. Now it's a philosophy rather than a tactical how-to. And getting all of that, that then can be realized in the software, so it's now can be easily executed and AI can help coach you through it, like, so that, that it can guide you and be your accountability partner, is something I want to be really patient about, because it's I think it'll make a huge impact on people when it's done the right way, you know.
Love it. So, Rob, two last quick questions I have for you. And one, massively grateful and again, appreciative of you coming on and sharing your wisdom. You're a wizard and a ninja and grateful for your time. I'm curious for anybody that's here and's like, holy crap, this is the dude on Ridiculousness and this is what goes on his brain and I want to hang out with him more. Where's the best place for them to hang out with you and dive more into your world?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, like right now I just sort of each week fire off 25 minutes, you know, just in sort of philosophically a different sort of aspect of what I'm working on the whole. And then I break that out into, you know, for the podcast and break that out into 4 or 5 videos and then push that across all the platforms. So, you know, if you want to hear this version on an ongoing basis, it's it's basically all the social media for now, you know.
Okay. And we'll put that in the show notes. My last question for you, it's a question we ask for all of our guests because we want to help our listener find direction, but we believe in doing it through action, is what is one thing that our listener could do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
I mean, look, I would go to Principles U and do a personality test, because Principles U will give you a detailed breakdown of who you are. Mm. And sometimes we tend to like think of all of these things that we want because we don't understand them. And we don't realize that even if we pursued them, achieving them wouldn't actually be good for us.
Right.
And the more that we can understand ourselves, the easier it's going to be to find that clarity. And I think Principles U is a perfect first step of having a deeper understanding of who you are, which will then give you clarity on which direction you should choose, because it's more in tune with who you actually are and where you would find success faster and in a way that you would actually enjoy it. You got to understand you the most before you start.
Let's go. Let's go, Rob. Well, I, again, a million times over, appreciate you being here. And thank you so much for your time today, Rob. Really appreciate it.
Got it. Continue to pursue. Let's optimize go. Today for a better tomorrow, Stu.
Let's go.
Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul, and that is absolutely something worth celebrating. I hope you got some nuggets from Rob there, and I hope you take those things and, more importantly, start to apply them to your life. Thank you so much for hanging out with me on this episode. If you have not yet, make sure you smash that subscribe button. And if you don't want to go anywhere, don't feel like you need to. I have another episode coming up right after this that you are more than welcome to hang around for. All right, my friend, I'll talk to you soon.